Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to see you. How's everyone doing? Who's doing GCSEs, A levels at the moment? Anyone? GCSE exams this week? Yeah. I was going to say good luck, but we don't believe in luck. Pray God blesses you all. All those doing exams, we are thinking of you, praying for you as you're revising and trying to not spend too much time lying in the sun. I know it's a full-on time, but you're nearly there. Keep going. Hey, we're really excited, encouraged by all that God is doing. Some wonderful things happening. Yesterday, we had over 400 people here for a training day, equip day, worship for everyone. Nick and Becky Drake and whole team kind of lead this ministry, which is investing in local churches and schools in intergenerational worship. And I think over 150 churches were represented yesterday. By all accounts, it was an amazing, amazing day. This morning, a whole bunch kind of were here at church, had come for the weekend to learn and be a part of that day and see what we do on a Sunday. And just what a privilege, what a joy for us as a church to be able to encourage and train and equip other churches from all over the country. So even if you weren't there or a part of it, you are a part of it because it's our church playing our part, serving God. So that was a wonderful day. But the other thing, day by day, we're just hearing amazing stories of what God is doing in and through you, through us, across our different locations. And last week, I mean, who can forget, we filled in the Gas Street survey. Thank you for doing that. And one of the questions was, do you have any stories of what God has done? And just this week, I read through these stories, and it's absolutely amazing. Well, this one story, this person writes, it says, I went to get my nails done at a new place. I think it might be Nick Drake, but let's see. And I was chatting with my nail tech. I spoke a little bit about church, but mostly about faith. My nail technician was a Muslim. I didn't think much about the encounter, but we followed each other on SM, social media. One day I came to the 11:30 service and had to do a double take as I couldn't believe my eyes. It was my nail technician. She said something shifted in her after our conversation and she saw that I came to Gas Street from my Instagram stories. She said she wanted to experience whatever it was that I had experienced, and she brought her husband as well. Isn't that amazing? There you go. Yes, that deserves a clap. And also, for those who like to get their nails done, you can now justify it as an evangelistic opportunity. And you're investing not only in your nails, but in the kingdom of God. Another story, someone said, I'd slipped into using cocaine again due to past trauma resurfacing. I was going to give up coming to church as I felt a fraud. I was encouraged to come one last time when I was prayed for by two precious ladies who've known my struggle with addiction. They prayed for the Holy Spirit to fall and for me to be renewed and that I'd never pick up using cocaine again. I had an out-of-body experience where I felt like I was physically withdrawing. That was 11 months ago and I haven't used or wanted to use since. Praise God. So good. Someone else said this. We're leading a community. We do like these midweek small groups. We're leading a community of around 12 guys who most have never really interacted with church before. Isn't that amazing? Someone's there leading a small group. 12 people, most of them have never been a part of a church before. Just what God is doing is so good. And then the final one, this is just a few of many. I invited a Muslim to Alpha as he was interested in my story and now he's given his life to Jesus Christ. So beautiful. We're well aware God is doing something in our community, but actually as we've been talking right around the nation, God is at work doing something beautiful. But the strong sense I've been getting is that we as a church, we just need to get ready for what is already happening, but certainly for what is to come. And we're in a season, I believe, where God is preparing and strengthening us so that we can steward the blessings and the challenges that are going to come when we see a great awakening. Now, we know that as human beings, we're made up of mind, body, and spirit. We care, or we seek to care about our physical bodies. God has made us physical beings, and we now know that it's important to think about what you eat. Exercise is important. Sleep is important. If we want to live healthy lives, we need to take care of these physical frames. We also know more and more, increasingly so, that we are made of mind and emotion, and we need to look after our mental health and our emotional well-being. Some of you, perhaps, like myself, will see a therapist or someone who can help us understand sometimes these emotions swirling around in us. We're much better at looking after our emotional and mental well-being. And it's so great that more and more people are talking about their feelings rather than bottling them up. We understand that our mental well-being is important, but we're not just mind and body, we are also spirit. And I think many of us fail or don't do the graft of allowing God to strengthen our spirit, to strengthen us in our inner being, that our soul can be strengthened as well. Paul the apostle, writing to the church in Ephesus, he says this: I pray that out of his glorious riches he may be strengthened, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So I'm passionate, and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at what it means and how we can strengthen that inner being and how God can strengthen it so that we can be battle ready. We can be ready for all that might come our way, because you need to understand this. We are in a spiritual battle. Many of us, we focus on what we see around us, the physical, what is before us, the things that we can understand and comprehend. But the Bible teaches there is an enemy who's seeking to corrupt, to destroy, and to divide us. There is an enemy who comes to try and rob us of joy, to isolate us, to erode values locally, nationally, who comes to try and keep people imprisoned in addiction, weighed down by shame. And we need to understand that our enemy is not your boss. It's not your neighbor. It's not that person who's trolling you online. The enemy is Satan. Again, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in Ephesus, says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." One of the reasons I believe the church in the UK over the last few decades has in many ways been so impotent and ineffective is because we have failed to grasp this spiritual reality all around us. We focused on what we understand and what we can see. And it's time for us to get awakened to the spiritual realm and to believe that God, through his spirit, can enable us to overcome, to bring about his kingdom and victory wherever we go. And we're going to look at a few things and how we can sort of grow in this. But one of the things I want to look at today is this gift of speaking in tongues. This gift that God wants to give us that enables us to pray and to grow and to strengthen our inner being. Now, there's an amazing lady called Jackie Pullinger. She, amazing missionary, spent many, many years in Hong Kong, still lives there. But when she was 21 years old, back in 1966, she got a one-way ticket to go and live in Hong Kong and serve and work amongst the poorest of the poor. What she was doing was so dangerous that the mission agencies refused to support her. They said, if you go on your own, it's crazy. You're a young woman, it's just madness. But she was like, I'm going anyway. She gets on a boat, one-way ticket to Hong Kong. And suddenly the reality of the evil and the darkness and the addictions and the gang culture all around was overwhelming. And she began to cry out for God to move. And she discovered this amazing gift, the gift of tongues. And she writes this. She says, "By the clock, I prayed 15 minutes a day in the language of the Spirit and still felt nothing as I asked the Spirit to help me to intercede for those he wanted to reach. After about 6 weeks of this, I began to lead people to Jesus without trying. Gangsters fell to their knees, sobbing in the streets. Women were healed. Heroin addicts were miraculously set free. And I knew it all had nothing to do with me. They began to see remarkable things as Jackie Pullinger and her team began to pray in tongues. I've had the privilege of going and spending some time in Hong Kong, and one of the distinctives of the ministry that has seen thousands upon thousands of heroin addicts, gangsters set free has been praying over people in tongues and praying in tongues. So this is a really important gift that I want us to look at today. And I want to ask the question, why is the gift of tongues important? Why should we care about this slightly weird thing we read about in the Bible? Well, first thing is this. Tongues is a gift of the Spirit. It's a gift. Paul, writing to the church this time in Corinth, in chapter 12, he talks about these spiritual gifts. He says this, it's going to come up on the screen. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And Paul goes on to list these different spiritual gifts, things like prophecy, healing, gifts of faith. But then he goes on to say, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. So we need to understand this. God has these spiritual gifts he wants to give us. And one of those gifts is the gift of tongues. Now, I love gifts. If anyone ever wants to gift me anything, then I'll gladly receive it and welcome it. But God, Almighty Father of the heavens, the beginning and the end, the one who created me and understands me, he says in his word that he has these gifts for me. And I'm like, well, I want them. I want them all. I want prophecy. I want healing. I want the gift of tongues. Why wouldn't we want to receive these gifts that God wants to give us? He knows us. He knows what's best for us. He knows how we can live free, expansive, bold, courageous, impactful lives. And he wants to give us these gifts and to help us do that. So why on earth wouldn't we want to receive it? Praying in tongues is a gift of the Spirit. But secondly, we see it's a gift that was given at Pentecost, nearly 2,000 years ago, days after Jesus' resurrection. The early church are gathered and the Spirit of God is poured out and they begin to speak in tongues. It says this, Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So we see, and we see at other points in scriptures, when the Spirit is poured out, one of the ways people respond is through praying in tongues. And we see that Pentecost was the moment where the church, it was like it was set ablaze and went far and wide and spread. And today we're part of this amazing movement, the global church. And the Spirit of God is still being poured out to empower us to do all that he's calling us to do. But one of the ways we sometimes see that the Spirit is working is by people praying in tongues. Now, I want to be clear. There's some theological teaching that I think is a distortion and I think is unhelpful and confusing, that if you don't pray in tongues, then, well, you haven't been filled with the Spirit. I don't believe that is accurate and fair. I've met amazing men and women over the years who have definitely been filled with the Spirit, who exercise in some of the other gifts of the Spirit, but have never been given the gift of tongues. So if you don't pray in tongues, that doesn't mean, A, that there's secret sin in your life or that you haven't been filled with the Spirit. But I do believe that most people, when they ask to receive the gift, do receive it. And it's an amazing gift that helps us in our Christian walk. And in a moment at the end, we're going to create time and space to pray for people to receive this beautiful gift. Third thing, why we should value it. The Apostle Paul, he values it. Paul is one of the great leaders of the church. His teaching and his letters, epistles, have formed so much of the New Testament that help us understand key doctrines of who Jesus is. And this incredible leader, bold, courageous leader, and he values it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, he says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. He later says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Brilliant confidence, isn't it? But sometimes I'm just really pragmatic in my faith. I look at Paul, who he was, the things he saw God do, and I I want to see that in my life. So then I'm like, okay, well, what were some of the keys for him? And clearly, one of the keys for him was that he prayed in tongues a lot. And so my thinking is, well, I want to see miracles, signs, wonders, breakthrough, lives transformed. So I'm going to do what Paul did. I'm going to grow in praying in tongues. So there are three reasons why I think tongues are important. I want to ask the question now, what is this gift? And what happens when we pray in tongues? Now, put simply, the gift of tongues is a language given by the Holy Spirit, unknown to the speaker. When we pray in it, we don't understand what we're saying, but it's a gift by which we pray to God and we begin to connect with God, spirit to spirit. So here are five brief reasons why I think we should pray in tongues and what happens when we pray in tongues. Firstly, this, when we pray in tongues, we directly speak to God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." So when we pray in tongues, we are praying directly to God. We are speaking directly to God. He understands everything that is being communicated. It's a bit like the bat phone. When the people of Gotham were desperate, they would put up the bat sign or they pick up the bat phone, and it was a message directly to Batman to come and save the day. Well, when we pray in tongues, we communicate directly to the heart of God. It's like we pick up the hotline and, "God, help, what do? We need you." And God hears. I can find that times I'm praying, I'm using my words, and it feels like, does anyone hear this? God, are you listening? Well, by faith, because what we read in the Word of God, we can be confident when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, God hears, and these prayers go directly to the heart of God. That's an amazing thing. Second thing, when we pray in tongues, we're edified and we're built up. 1 Corinthians 14, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. So praying in tongues, it's like builds us up. If you go to the gym, you can see some people around, they go to the gym, you know, they're kind of, you tell people when they go to the gym a lot, they start wearing tight tops, don't they? And they're kind of showing off their muscles. Like, I wear baggy tops for a reason. But they're kind of like, you know, been working out repetitive sort of exercises and pumps and weights and whatever you call it. And, you know, they want everyone to know, yeah, man, I've got biceps. When we pray in tongues, what we're doing is we're building up the spiritual muscle within us, in our inner being. We're strengthening our core. Why is this important? Well, because life is complicated. It's so easy to get tossed around by the challenges, the disappointments, the confusion, the uncertainties. I wish that I could just be consistent all the time, but there are moments where my emotions overcome me and I feel overwhelmed and I'm like, I don't know what to do, and it feels like I'm just being thrown all over the place. Praying in tongues, it kind of anchors you. It strengthens that core so that you can be resilient. You can keep going. You're not going to be thrown all over the place by the challenges of life. It's this amazing gift that I am so grateful for in my life. Over the decades, I've prayed regularly in tongues, and I believe it strengthened me, spiritual muscle within me, to help me keep going. Third thing, when we pray in tongues, it's an expression of praise and worship. At Pentecost, Acts 2, Spirit of God is poured out and people begin to pray in tongues. And what happens is everyone who gathers around, now you need to understand, Jerusalem was like a melting pot of all the different nations, a bit like Birmingham is today. But the early church, the disciples were Jewish. They'd have spoken Aramaic. But they begin to speak in tongues, and they don't know what they're saying, but all the people gathering around are hearing them praising God in their own language. It says in Acts 2, the people said, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." So when we pray in tongues, what we're doing is we're worshiping, we're praising. You see, tongues is a prayer language, but it's also a praise language. Now, sometimes I find in worship, I'm so overcome, so overwhelmed by who God is, I kind of run out of words to say, and it's like to be able to sing or to pray in tongues as a way of glorifying God. Thanking Him is an amazing thing. I remember being a part of this Alpha weekend. And if you've ever been on an Alpha weekend where they look at the Holy Spirit, there's a moment where we invite the Spirit to come and we worship. And we pray for people to receive the gift of tongues. And one of the ways we do it is we sing a song. And then at the end, encourage people just to begin to sing out. We're going to do it in a bit. And we did this. I was leading worship, so we sang a chorus. And then I began to sing in tongues and people began to join in. It was beautiful. At the end, this lady comes up to me and she looks really quite visibly shaken. And she says, "Do you speak Arabic?" I was like, "No, of course I don't speak Arabic." And she's like, "Whoa." And she said, "You were saying in Arabic, Jesus be praised, Jesus be praised." And it really freaked her out. And it was a key moment, I think, for her to really think, well, this is real. This stuff is real. I've heard that so many times. People pray in tongues, other nations, other languages, understand that they're worshiping God. So tongues can be an expression of praise and worship. Fourth thing, tongues can be a gift of prayer for moments of pressure and strain. Moments where you're under the cosh and praying in tongues is an amazing way of finding God in that moment. I have a friend called Pastor Agu who leads a church in London called Jesus House. An amazing, amazing man. But he tells the story of one evening he's in bed and he wakes up with a real burden to pray for his brother. His brother was living in Nigeria in Lagos. And he begins to pray for his brother. He begins to pray like many of us would pray for our loved ones. "Lord, I pray for my brother. Pray for his family. Pray for his work. Pray for his health. Pray for his finances. Pray that you'd bless him. Pray that he'd feel loved and encouragement." All of these things, which are brilliant prayers. But then as he began to pray like this, he suddenly was overcome with this kind of tearing of the guts, this burden for his brother, and he began to cry out and he began to pray in tongues over his brother. And for about 2 hours, he prayed and he interceded in tongues for his brother. And then eventually the burden lifted and he went to bed. He wakes up the next morning and he gets a call. And the call is from Nigeria saying this: "Your brother in the night came under attack." His brother was driving home from work and late at night was pulled over by these gunmen who tried to steal his car. And he managed to get out and he managed to run away from these gunmen. But the gunmen were really angry that he tried to escape. So they jumped into the car and they chased him in the car and they slammed the car into him and sent him flying off the road into the kind of this disused kind of warehouse. It's like a building site next to the road. Smashed his ankle, a lot of damage to his leg. And so he's in this kind of wasteland. But the gunmen are so angry that they're now, "We just want to kill him." And so they're chasing him, they're shining their torch, they're trying to find him. Agu's brother had managed to crawl into this boggy marshland nearby, and he's lying in this wetland, this marshland. But in this marshland, he knows that this is kind of breeding ground for venomous snakes and alligators. So he's terrified, not only of these gunmen, but also of these snakes and alligators. Eventually, the gunmen give up trying to find him. They go off. And then when morning comes and the builders begin their day, they find Agu's brother and they pick him up and they take him to hospital. And miraculously, he's fine. But Agu tells the story. And he said, "When I began to pray in the Spirit, I had no idea that the great prayer for my brother, how could I have known? The great prayer for my brother was, 'Protect him, Lord, from bullets and gunmen. Protect him from venomous snakes and alligators. Lord, deliver him from evil. Have mercy.'" He had no idea what to pray, but as he was praying in the Spirit of God was interceding through him to bring about deliverance of his brother. How could he have known with his mind what to pray? Romans 8, verse 26, the Apostle Paul says, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." There are moments when the Spirit intercedes through us with groans and through this gift of tongues. I remember when our son Simeon was born, and he's 16 now, but it was a water birth. But as he was born, suddenly there was clearly something wrong and he was struggling to breathe. And when you're in a hospital, you suddenly know when things are not going well because the room fills quickly with doctors and nurses, and then quickly out of nowhere, all these people were gathering around. Rachel and I, we didn't know what was going on, but we could tell it wasn't good. Instinctively, we both just began to pray in tongues for his protection and well-being. I am so grateful for this gift. There have been countless times in my life where I have felt at a loss. How do I pray? What do I pray? God, where are you moving? What are you doing? How do I keep going? And I just begin that discipline of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, believing that God is working in and through these prayers to bring about answers. Final thing I want to say is this: when we pray in tongues, it draws us into the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says this: he or she who speaks in a tongue, in the Spirit, they speak mysteries. I love what the author Corey Russell says. He says, as we pray in tongues, the Spirit, the one who searches the deep things of God, is releasing out of our mouths the perfect will of the Father into existence. So let's try and unpack that. When we begin to pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, we don't understand with our minds what we're praying, but our spirit is connecting with the Spirit of God, and God is beginning to pray in and through us, and we're beginning to activate the mysteries, the unknown plans and purposes he has for us. It's like we're beginning to say yes and amen, and the mysteries of who God is. I mean, one of the mysteries is God reveals, I believe, as we worship and pray in tongues, is who he is, what he's like. So many of us, we have a corrupt, broken, distorted understanding of God because of our experiences or things people have said to us or weird teaching we've sat under. I believe when we pray in tongues, God begins to reveal mysteries of, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. This is what I can do. When we pray in tongues, he begins to reveal mysteries about ourselves. Who I am in Christ. Again, so many of us, we sit under false ideas of who we are. I'm insecure, I'm worthless, I haven't got what it takes, I'm a failure, I'm a dropout, I'm not good enough, I don't have what it takes. And we live crippled by this distorted way of thinking, and we begin to pray in the Spirit, and God begins to reveal this mystery. Oh, my boy, my girl, you are a child of the King. You are chosen. You are dearly loved. You are going to be a part of this kingdom of God that will know no bounds for eternity. You'll experience my love. I can do impossible things through people like you if you'd only make yourself open and available. What feels like it's a shut door with me can be an open door. Just watch what I can do if you begin to open your heart to me. As we pray in tongues, the Spirit begins to unlock this within us. When we pray in tongues, we begin to unlock the mysteries and the plans of God for our lives, for the city, for our places of work and study. You know, God has a plan for this city. At the moment, so much of what we see around us is mess, bin crisis, broken council, no money, so much abuse, children, the care system, children who are being abandoned and rejected, people in domestic abusive relationships, division, loneliness, isolation. So much, it just breaks your heart and you look at it and think, God, how on earth could we ever see a transformed city? But I believe as we begin to pray in tongues, we might not understand the solutions, we might not know what needs to take place, but we begin to lean into the heart of God who does have a plan for this city, who does have a call for this church and the church in Birmingham to rise up, to play its part in seeing God's name being honored, celebrated and revered, and to see his kingdom come. And as we begin to pray in tongues, I believe it's like we begin to lay down track. We begin, like train track, we begin to lay it down for the train of God's glory to come riding into this city. We begin to say yes to get in step with, to get in alignment with what God is doing and is going to do. We unlock the Spirit of God as we pray in tongues in a city. And then finally, when we pray in the Spirit, we begin to speak out and speak into the mysteries of what God is perhaps wanting to do in friends, people around you. You might find yourself praying in tongues and suddenly you're thinking about a person, a friend. God might want you to encourage that person, to call them up, pray over them, give them something, do something for them. God might highlight a person as you're praying in the Spirit, and it's because He wants you to minister hope, love, and care to that person. Okay, just before we end, how do we receive this gift? Well, you ask for the gift. Paul says, eagerly desire the gifts. If you don't want it, fine. You are missing out. And I'm telling you this, without these gifts, and I think this gift of tongues, you are so vulnerable. You are so vulnerable to the enemy picking you off. I think so many of us are so naive. My longing is that we would grow in strength in our inner being, but we need to ask for these gifts. We need to get serious about this stuff. So we need to ask for the gift. We need to receive it by faith. I had some great conversations this morning with people like, is it not just gobbledygook? Yeah, I don't know, maybe. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems foolish, but what I had this brilliant conversation with a girl who's like, it just seems weird to me. And my challenge to her was, pray in tongues 5 minutes a day for a month and then come back and tell me what's God taught you? Is it something you still want to keep going with? But what we do is we think, oh, sounds weird. I'm not going to engage with it. I'm not going to bother. And you're missing out. Again, we've got to recognize sometimes our intellect keeps us from stepping into all that God has for us. I mean, who are we in Birmingham in 2025 with all our GCSE A levels and degrees to think that we know best? Oh, seems a bit weird. Let's leave it. Let's just crack on with another way. How arrogant of us to disregard what the Bible and the Word of God says, and to disregard what we've seen through traditions in the church over 2,000 years of people stepping out, praying in tongues because we don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us. What if it's gobbledygook? Well, let me encourage you. Give it a go. See what the fruit is in your life as you pray in tongues 5 minutes a day for a month. Receive it by faith. When we begin to worship, allow your heart just to think about Jesus. Don't be distracted by everything going around. Just think about Jesus. So we're going to sing a song of worship. You're worthy of it all. Just think about Jesus. And then when we encourage you to sing in the Spirit, just go for it with your mind and your heart tuned on Jesus. Fourthly, don't overthink it. Might feel foolish. Might sound weird. It might feel like just weird syllables and sounds. For so many people, I was talking to my wife, Rach, when she started to pray in tongues, she says it's just like la 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 la, ba 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 ba. And it's like, it sounds silly, but it was the beginning. Like a baby learning to talk, right on cue. You hear the sounds and the syllables and blink and she'll be saying words and then stringing sentences together. You gotta start somewhere. Don't overthink it, just begin. Then you gotta do it. We just got to step out in faith. Have a go. Move your mouth. Very occasionally, God almost supernaturally comes upon someone and releases it, releases the gift of tongues. More often than not, we partner with God. And we begin to move our lips and our mouths, create sound. And God begins to breathe on it. And the final thing is begin to use this gift daily. 5 minutes a day. Jackie Pullen did 15 minutes a day. I've actually, the last week's been trying to pray more like 20, 30 minutes a day in tongues. Anywhere I'm driving, walking quietly under my breath. I just got the train to come in here this evening, quietly praying under my breath, walking in tongues. Because I want all of this stuff that I've been teaching about.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gastreetchurch.